Morning, everybody. I've just come from a lovely baptism at St George's, which felt like such a party, so it's so nice to then be able to come here and see all your lovely faces and talk about this amazing passage today, which is the armour of God. If you haven't met me yet, my name is Beth. I'm the curate here, and I'm absolutely loving getting to know you all. I've got a real passion for communities and different things like that in our churches, so it'd be great if you've got a passion for that too. Come talk to me later. So today we are looking at Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, looking at the armour of God. And we're going to look a little while at each of the different pieces of armour, but then we're also going to look at what the purpose of the actual whole wearing of the armour is and what the purpose of us is when we wear that. So I love, when I'm looking at a bit of the Bible, and it feels like forever and ever and ever ago, to take a look at what those places look like today. And so this book of Ephesians was written by Paul while he was in prison. So he's not writing this from a super cushy life, sat on his sofa in front of the fire, telling us all to believe and have faith. He is in a prison where things aren't looking very good. And he is writing this letter to the city of Ephesus, which was a massive kind of trade port in what's now known as Turkey. And it looks today like this. So it was the place of the Temple of Artemis, a seventh wonder of the world. And we can see here big amphitheatres. This was a big place of commerce, of culture, of loads of different beliefs in different gods. And it is to the Christians in this place that Paul is speaking. One of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis. This is the only ruins that exist from this place still there today. So our book of Ephesians was to the Christian community in this place. And the letter instructs and encourages. It's meant to be a real encouragement, a real letter of blessing. It's meant to be for the body of Christ, so not just individuals, but a whole group of people together. And we get the first half of the letter, which focuses on God's plan, telling people again all that God has done for them, that through Jesus they're children of God, that they are beloved, that they are saved, that there is a place for them in eternity that God has made. And then the last half focuses on practical guidance for the church, for the people, for the individuals, which we can today can look at and try and gain some encouragement as well. So the armor of God, this is some protective gear that people are wearing. So I would like it if you could turn to each other for just a minute or think to yourselves, and I'm going to use this mic if that's okay, Andrew, and come around and ask you afterwards. I'd like you to think of a job that you specifically need protective gear for. Go. Okay, Andrew's going to do a roam and come around and ask you. So if you look really terrified, you might be the one that he asks. Apologies.
So Peter said he needs stuff for his cricket mm-hmm. outfit. Obviously, to save him from being hit by the balls. and then I say that I need an apron just to protect me when I cooked his meal.
That's two great ones. Okay, so apron when you're cooking. Yeah, really good. And then playing cricket. You need stuff that protects your body. But cricket wouldn't be a very good game if you didn't also have your cricket bat, would it? To hit some other stuff away. Great, that's a great example. Have we got any more?
Any of the emergency services, especially firemen, if they're going into a horrific fire, protection against the burns and the flames and smoke, so they can try and rescue people, help them in many different ways.
Yeah, you've guessed the one that I'm going to have a talk about later, because yeah, I think, no, that's even better. It's even better if you guess it. It means I picked a good one. Yeah, people in the fire services, they have to have shields, that like helmets and shields that protect them, different fireproof wear. Yep, said.
The nursing fraternity to look after people like me.
And how wonderful they are. Yeah, they have to have different things about them. Might have to have stethoscopes, different bits of equipment to help people. Yeah. That's a great one. Let's do one more. Well, we've got a hand up the front, Andrew.
Oh, right.
Thank you.
Builders.
Builders, yeah. So hard hats. They need to be able to use their hands well. Yep, that's great. Thank you so much, Andrew. That's great. Okay, so the armour that they're wearing, my little boy Toby isn't here today because he's with his Nana, because I've borrowed his favourite helmet. Well, I say his favourite helmet. Tom, would you agree that actually the Tupperware box that he's decided as a helmet is probably his favourite? Yeah. But this one is pretty good too. This one is, like many of the protective gear we thought of, physical. It's actually here. But the armour that we're talking about today is an armour that is on our body. And actually, when we think of armour like this, is armour that is going to be used to hurt people. Actually, this armour of God is all of it is for goodness, is for defence, is also for offence, if we go in with the word of God. So we've got these bits of armour here. And they are for the strength and power of God to be strong in the Lord. But there's also a real necessity to put on this full armour of God. We read that for our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That sounds quite scary, and actually we really need armor in those places when flaming arrows are coming down. So God wants and is ready to equip all of us. So we've got the belt of truth, and I think truth's a really funny thing in our day and age. We've got more and more of these deep fakes on the internet. These are things where you can take someone's face and it kind of shows a video of them saying something they haven't said. Now that's scary in itself, but it means that actually everything becomes deniable. You can say, oh, I never said that on a video, it's just in a video. So actually truth today is still so important. And as Christians, we believe we can find that in our Bibles. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. I love that this is over our hearts. It's standing firm, it's covering all of us. We're living righteously in the way that Jesus has taught us, where we live for the good of others, but ultimately he is our righteousness. We have footwear of the gospel of peace. This isn't walking in, leaving footprints, leaving things trampled on. This is peaceful footprints being left in the sand wherever we're going. We're literally leaving it on the floor that we're walking in. And a shield of faith. Put your arms out in front of you like this. Where is your shield of faith? It's in front of you. It's over your heart. It's over your body. And actually, this is really interesting because we can think sometimes to kind of hide our faith behind us, maybe not let it be the first thing people know about us. But actually, it is in front. We are hiding behind it. That faith is in front of us, protecting us. We've then got helmet of salvation, the assurance of our salvation in all that we do. So we don't have to be fearful, argumentative, critical. We can be sure of our salvation and others in God. And the final one, which is our offensive weapon, but kind of in the way that to a fireman, the water hose would be offensive to the fire, we've got the sword of the Spirit. I don't know if you know, there's a passage in Revelations where Jesus is seen with a sword coming out of his mouth, showing actually the offensive weapon is the word of Jesus, the word of God. And that's our offensive weapon against lies and against deception in our lives. And we've got all of this completely wrapped up. So we've got be strong in the Lord, armor of God, and it's against mighty powers of dark and evil. And all of this is wrapped up in prayer. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent for all believers everywhere. So whilst we've got this full armor on, not only are we praying, but we're praying for all believers. This is something that Paul is sharing in unity in the plan that it's for people together that are joining together, caring for one another in this place. We're going to take a little look at purpose now. Oh, I've gone the wrong way. So purpose and unity. What is the point of the armor? What are some different things that we can think of? So I'm going to go back to the very good firefighter guess as we look at purpose, and that is the reason for doing something or the reason that something exists. So what's the harm in thinking, oh, there's no need for the armor of God today? That was something kind of told to people thousands of years ago, and it's not really needed today. Well, if we think of our firefighter, they're at the station, they're ready to go, the alarm's gone off. They look at their protective gear and they think, oh, people have been wearing that for years. I don't need that anymore. We're out of that now. I'm going to head off straight to the fire. What's going to happen? Tom did a very good sound effect there. Can you do that again, Tom? Yeah. People are not going to be protective. Their skin's going to be hurt. Their lungs are going to be hurt. Lots of different parts of the body are going to be hurt. And they're not going to fix the problem that they've turned up to fix, which is the fire that is all over the house or the building or the area that they are. So just like that firefighter needs the protective armor because there is fire around them, we need the protective armor of prayer, of peace, of knowing our salvation, knowing our purpose in Christ. We need to know that because as God says here, what we go out to does have darkness, even if we think it might not. And that might as well be something of our privilege if we're very comfortable in life, if we're living in somewhere that's safe, but actually not everyone has that. So like a firefighter, you need to be wearing it for the good of others. And what's the harm in thinking, I'd wear it if I had a purpose? You can imagine someone's in the station, hearing the alarm, seeing the protective gear, knowing it's good, knowing it's needed, and just thinking, I'm going to be terrible at that. I have no purpose. God has not built me to help anybody. Well, one, that is not true about who you are. In Jesus, we are children of God. We have a purpose exactly where we are. And actually, we really need to be wearing the armor of God and going out to help people. Because without us, that armor doesn't go anywhere. And thirdly, if we imagine a firefighter getting dressed in all their gear at the station, thinking, yes, I've got this. Getting a bit bored because the alarm's not gone off. Oh, you know what? I might go home and stick and watch some favorite TV shows. EastEnders, Great British Bake Off. You know what? I'll go home and I'll watch that instead. And they're not there hearing when the alarm goes off. So this is a thing for us to remember today. If we've understood our purpose in God, if we understand why he is important in this world, actually let's re-remember that we are needing to put our armor on and get out there. We need to remember that what we are going out to is a battle, and it's kind of there whether we like it or not. Going to skip these next few. I changed my mind last minute, sorry. There we go. So, when you think there's no need for the armor of God, remember we are fighting against evilness and authorities that we can't see in this world, ones that we don't need to be scared of because God is bigger than. And when we think we have no purpose, we need to remember that we are children of God called into community in the unity that's in this room and equipped with the full armor of God. When you forget the importance of your purpose that God has equipped you for, well, actually, this is a collective thing that we need to be doing. We need to be praying in the Spirit all times and every occasion for each other, encouraging each other, inspiring each other exactly where we are. I don't say these things because I think, oh, I bet people are not going to be very good at this. I say it because I have seen these kind of points at each stage of my life. So when I started sort of in my 20s wanting to discover more about Jesus, I thought there might be something actually in this God thing. I didn't really understand the purpose of the passages I was reading in the Bible. I thought they were really old. I wasn't quite sure whether they fitted in today. And it was the people around me that encouraged, and I had to really learn that actually this was a purpose and this was for today. But then it hit me that I was a very new Christian, didn't even really understand Father God and Holy Spirit yet. I did have no purpose at this point at all. And actually it was my jobs when I was working in bars and cafes when my church was encouraging me. And actually something switched in my head. I think I thought in my head, oh, one day maybe when I'm a vicar, I can do the work of God. Something did happen, but you know. But actually, in my bar job, in my cafe job, it was amazing seeing, you know, protecting people, getting home from cabs, speaking light into life when things were difficult. And I think you can do a lot as a barmaid and as a Christian, kind of seeing ways in which God moves in life. So I really want to encourage you, whether you're retired, whether you work in construction, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, whatever you are doing, whichever part of life you are in, you have a purpose and are equipped exactly for that point. I was meeting with someone who was quite ill and had been in bed for a while, and actually what an amazing prayer warrior she was. And if she'd kind of thought that she couldn't do anything then, the amazing things she'd be praying wouldn't have been said. So as we finish, I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes. And don't worry, I'm not going to jump or do anything scary. And I want you to visualize that armor being worn. So we've got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the footwear of peace, the shield of faith, imagine that weight of it on your arm, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Our Father, we do pray that more and more each day we can remember to be sure of your salvation in us, Father, that we can remember to walk in the armor that you so graciously give us. Amen. I do ask you, keep your eyes closed, because I want to challenge you that if when you close your eyes and picture this armor on, you picture yourself alone. Because this armor is meant to be worn in an army, in a giant battalion of peacemakers, of people who are giving kindness and generosity to their community around them. And then I want you to try and imagine all your family around you in that armor. Everyone in church around you in that armor. And then I want you to imagine the biggest group of people you could possibly imagine around you. And that darkness doesn't seem quite so scary when you are with everyone in the armor of God. Let's keep your eyes closed for a moment. I'll pray to finish. Father God, help us to be fully equipped in the armor of you, and stand in unity more and more each day with our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ in unity. Amen. You can open your eyes now.